Hello, everyone, and welcome back to QuickSlant with Buffalo University head football coach Steve Johnson. QuickSlant is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Bethel coach questions about the Royals, football, or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the big victory over Gustavus Adolphus this past weekend. He tells us who he believes to be the greatest Chicago Bears running back of all time. And the coach discusses with us how football really helps in evangelizing. So let's get right to QuickSlants. Let's welcome back Coach Johnson this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
We're coming off a good win at Gustavus against a real good team who made some adjustments. And we didn't have Gideon Earhart, and I think he'll be back for the Tommy game, as we have a bye this week. And other than that, I think we're pretty healthy. Had a good practice yesterday, and I think the updates are, we're staying healthy and growing a lot. It's exciting.
Your defense had a big performance against Gustavus Adolphus this past week. I know you had to be really excited about how they dominated that game.
Well, I think that the defense has been getting coming along, and really we want to play fast. And what happened with Gustavus, lost their quarterback, was really a terrific player, and so they had to make some adjustments to that. And that was difficult for us because we practiced the whole week against different stuff that we see, and so the. I was really proud of the way that the defense, we just stayed true to our assignments and stayed true to our base and executed like crazy, and then got to the place as we grew in the game, as we understood, what we were seeing. We got better and better as the game went on, and that was great to see. So guys are playing fast in the midst of, what could have been uncertainty, and they just kind of trusted their base so they could keep going good. So it was fun to see.
The Gusties pulled within four at one point, and then Joel Konecki breaks off a 92-yard touchdown return for you. How big was that for your team in terms of shifting momentum?
No, it was huge, and it was kind of comical because that was a part of the game. We had come down and scored, and that was good, But then we went from there to needing some time to figure out exactly what Gustavus was doing, and they had a new quarterback and a newer offensive system, and so as our guys adjusted to all that, it took a little time. So they had a long drive, and that resulted in a field goal. So it's 7-3, still early in the game. But held them to a field goal, and then we were commenting offensively that we need to drive a little bit and get some first downs, get the defense some rest, and so on and so forth. And so they kick off, and Joel houses the thing, and all of a sudden the defense is back out there again. And but if we get points, we're fine scoring fast. So, but it worked out well, and the defense really they used that drive that Gustavus put together. That was a good drive, but we used it to learn some things, and we're able to stop them a little quicker and get the ball back again.
Who were offensive, defensive, and special team players that stood out for you this past week?
Konecki, obviously. Blake Cottle had a pretty good game as far as his kickoffs weren't as good as he'd like him to be. But he did a nice job with field goal and extra points and some other areas, and he punted really well. And Konecki, Joel just made a great run and great play and a kickoff return. And offensively, he was great too. And so it's a lot of excitement. I felt like Sam Givens ran the ball well. Defensively, there's a host of guys. Led by Kyle Kilgore, had like 11 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, and he's a player of the week. Josh Dahlke played well. Godfrey played well. So we had a host of guys do a real nice job, and our corners, Joel Norring and Trey Anderson, he continues to impress and grow. And Dawson Brown, who always plays really well, had a great camp too.
You have the bye week this week, so what's different for your team's routine?
Well, Monday we had a JV game, and that's kind of great fun for those guys and team-wise. And then Tuesday we took the day off, and then we'll practice kind of a little bit normally these next few days, and that's a little bit. We have St. Thomas next week, so we won't do quite as much about St. Thomas as we normally would if we had them this week, but we'll be more, we had some competitions yesterday, one-on-one, and even some team competitions, but kind of doing base things and fundamentals and, kind of getting, we don't want to say we get back to basics because we don't ever want to leave them, but we are kind of running our stuff against each other and just competing and playing.
I would gather that having that extra week before you face St. Thomas gives you a little extra preparation. That's something you're happy about?
It kind of is what it is. I think if you get, you get too down about when your bye week is, that's kind of foolish and to get overly excited. It just is what it is. You know, it's a point in the season, and you can worry about, how to treat a bye week, and you can do it. It seems like, you were really smart. In all the years I've been coaching, it's like if you win after your bye week, then you really did a great job in bye week, but it seems like I can't remember what we did then. And if we lose, we must have been done bad. And so it's like we just try to do day-to-day and have wisdom toward what it's going to take to help us grow, and it is a chance to rest some guys, so we don't want, for the guys that got a real bad shoulder, we don't want them pounding on bye week, but we also don't want them just out of football. So, kind of having that happy medium and kind of is what it is more than being the greatest thing ever or a bad thing.
Before we head on to fan questions, the Cubs win last night. Do you see them having three more wins in them?
Finally, I missed that. I'm sorry.
I said the Cubs won last night. Do you see them having three more wins in them?
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty obvious that the Dodgers are a lot better. They're way. I don't know how to explain all those things, but. When the Cubs look tired and hanging on for dear life, and the Dodgers look like they're having a blast. And I think there might be, I don't know if that means anything or not. The Cub pitchers are walking people like crazy, but I also think that they've been so poor in hitting that they, and even the at-bats, it's like Bryant's flailing at everything and stuff like that. I just feel like the Cubs are putting an enormous amount of pressure on pitchers that aren't as good as the Dodgers. So I don't, I was surprised they won last night. I think Arrieta pitched really well. I think the Cubs had a good year, but I don't think they're going to make it. And I'd love to eat my words next week.
So. Well, let's head to fan questions this week. We first of all begin with Claire, who'd like to know what happened to Gunnar Bloom.
Yeah, I think, we just have to walk through things and just, I don't know. I feel like, as we grow through things, you just really, again, I don't want to, it is what it is, and that what's next, and so that's where we are and all those things.
Craig asks, he says, what have been your thoughts on Jake Marsh's development, and is he where you thought he would be in terms of maturity and his handling of the offense at this point in the season?
That's a good question. It's not something that you would kind of monitor, I think sometimes if you don't have expectations, you envision for something, you're foolish, but if you're kind of like, well, here's where it'd be, here's where it'd be, I mean, I'm not quite that wise. You know, I think there's some things that I think that Jake could do. What I need Jake to do is be really great fundamentally, and I think that we want to, as coaches, not give him too many decisions that don't let him just play and just really kind of flow. We talk about being free to run, and sometimes you have to have freedom from choices, and I think, you know, we want to make sure that we're not giving him so many reads that it paralyzes his fundamentals, you know. So it's really hard to say after a game at Gustavus where, you know, I think he had periods of efficiency, but I'd like him more efficient, but at the same time, you know, it was a rainy day, you know, off and on, and, you know, so handling the football was, you know, and then if you get a slippery ball and you lose it at the wrong time, it's magnified, you know, error, miscommunication. So I think Jake's doing well. He's doing great, and we just want to work on the little things and make things as clear as we possibly can for him.
Derek asks, he says, Trey Anderson has been so good at cornerback, I would think that him being a former quarterback has really helped him.
I think so. I think he's extremely athletic, and he gets games. I think that really helps him a lot. I think he does understand where a quarterback's trying to put a ball and those different things. But I've been really proud of him because it's a pretty magnificent switch from corner to, you know, from quarterback to cornerback, and he's, you know, both of them have a lot of pressure, and it's different, you know. But he's handled it like a champ, and he's really become a great player, in my opinion.
DeAndre would like to know, why do coaches pull players off the field when they make a mistake or make a bad play? In baseball, I know that after players make an error that they want the ball hit to them on the very next play. I would think that football players would feel the same way and would want to get right back in the play.
Well, first of all, baseball... Baseball, you can't take them out because unless you have another shortstop who's really good. And number two, I don't know we don't really take a guy out because he made a bad play. We 100% take a guy out if he got a bad penalty. And we probably would leave him in if we didn't have substitution rules. So the analogies. Not a good one.
I would take it then that when a guy takes a bad penalty, you're just, are you assuming then or looking at it and thinking that he's maybe gotten him, emotion has kind of swept over him and you're just giving him a break before he goes back out?
Yeah, and maybe even to yell at him because it's something that we talk about where, you know, you got to have poise in the midst of the battle and not everything's going to go your way and the referee might not see things the same way you did, but we want to be composed when we're out there, and if you've already proved that you don't have that poise that we want you to have, we probably want to talk to you about it. We don't have an unwritten rule that we do that, but I think most coaches want to talk to a guy and maybe even give him a chance to cool down, like you said.
Don asks, with Rodgers out for the year, it looks good for the Bears and Vikings, wouldn't you say?
I don't know about the Bears, but with Rodgers out for the year, it's probably disappointing for the league a little bit because when you think about guys like Brady, there's only a few Tom Brady's and Rodgers and all those guys. And so I think it's probably a good thing for the Vikings and Lions. And, you know, so that one of them can maybe make the playoffs instead. But, you know, kind of, if the Packers held on, got to the playoffs, if you got a broken collarbone, you could probably play in a couple months, and then the Packers would be back to being something pretty special because he's a heck of a player.
Mike would like to know who you think the Bears' best running back of all time is, Walter Payton or Gale Sayers?
Walter Payton. Gale Sayers probably the most exciting running back almost to ever play, but Walter Payton, given his longevity and everything else, was probably the greatest running back for the Bears.
Tyler would like to know, what is your top four favorite sports of the big ones? So of hockey, football, baseball, and basketball, what's your favorite, your second favorite, and so on?
Probably growing up, it'd be baseball, football, hockey, and hockey and basketball would be a tie for third. I really like them all. Kind of depends what season it is. Hockey, when growing up in Chicago, we didn't have any ice or anything like that, so we played in the street. Basketball, we could play a little bit, more like the real thing, But I'd probably, Cubs and Bears are what I grew up with, mostly, and Hawks. And then I was probably 12 years old before the Bulls became a franchise, and so that came a little bit later.
John says, I would think that football would be a great metaphor for evangelism because it seems that far too many Christians face obstacles when people reject the gospel and just decide to quit. Football seems like it would be a perfect sport to teach a message of continuing to stay in the fight.
Well, I think that all the time. I wonder sometimes if it was made for that. A friend of mine, Mike Mack, says that football is life on steroids, and it kind of is that. And we don't have many. I don't have very many football situations that don't really apply. Don't apply to, kind of spiritual growth. And I don't have many spiritual growth things that where I can't figure out something that football, kind of lends to, and it really is run to the fight, stay in the fight, and finish, and all those things, faith, hope, and love, right there,
Absolutely. Ben asks, he says, I've heard you talk about how people misunderstand counting it all pure joy. What does that mean to you?
Joy is a deeper deal that, and I think people might think joy is being yay, and I think that's more fun. But joy is it's a deeper thing. There's a faith piece in there, that I have faith that this struggle, if I fight through it, that it's going to be good in the end. And I might not see it. Sometimes I think as Christians we're arrogant to think, well, God will make things work good and work out for good. And we just have to kind of know that and trust that. Because it's not, you're not always going to see it. And sometimes I think we, think God likes us extra if it works out. And when it doesn't work out, we think he doesn't like us as much, and we're wrong both times because he doesn't waver. So I just think I think even not spiritually, I think it's a true deal. If you're going to have adversity anyway, just, I think it's more of a lean into it, and it's going to, there's going to be a depth. I was reading, it's a lot easier to be wide than deep. And I think the trials that you lean into and get through deepen.
Cindy would like to know your thoughts on how you overcome betrayal.
I don't know if you overcome betrayal. I don't know.
That's a pretty tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah.
So let's close out this week with why you're praising the Lord and what are you saying hallelujah anyhow too?
Well, we get to walk in Him, friendships and even the trials. They're good to grow, and praise Him anyway for the trials. So both of those deals. But happy heart is good like a medicine, so try to have that.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
Okay, thanks. My fun.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsupport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Quick Slants.